Rex Latchford here with another Day Page. I'm away on assignment, so today we'll hear the headlines from Amy Goodman on Democracy Now! At democracynow.org.
The United States is teetering on the brink of default as tomorrow's deadline to raise the debt ceiling approaches. On Tuesday, the Senate appeared to be moving closer to a deal to raise the debt limit and reopen the government. But House Republicans failed twice to produce their own plan. In Japan, at least 17 people are dead after a powerful typhoon whipped the eastern coast. It was the strongest typhoon to hit the area in 10 years. Typhoon Weipa raised fears about further damage to the embattled Fukushima Daiichi nuclear power plant, which has been plagued by radioactive leaks since it was damaged by an earthquake and tsunami in 2011. In the Philippines, the death toll from a 7.2 magnitude earthquake has risen to 144, with nearly 300 more injured. Negotiations over Iran's disputed nuclear program are entering their second and final day in Geneva. Glenn Greenwald, the journalist who's broken numerous stories about national security agency spying using documents from Edward Snowden, has announced he's leaving the Guardian newspaper. In a statement posted on his blog, Greenwald wrote he had been, quote, presented with a once-in-a-career dream journalistic opportunity that no journalist could possibly decline. Reuters reports Greenwald is joining a new media venture funded by eBay founder and multibillionaire Pierre Omidyar. In economic news, new research shows more than half of low-wage workers at fast food restaurants rely on public assistance to survive, a rate double that of the overall workforce. According to researchers at the University of California, Berkeley, low wages in the fast food industry cost American taxpayers nearly $7 billion every year. That's more than the entire annual budget of the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention. A companion report by the National Employment Law Project found McDonald's alone costs Americans $1.2 billion annually by paying its workers insufficient wages. Meanwhile, a Yale University professor who won the Nobel Prize for Economics this week has warned rising economic inequality is the most pressing issue facing the United States. Public Accountability Initiative has revealed many purported experts who made the case for military strikes on Syria in the mainstream media had undisclosed ties to military contractors. The report identifies 22 commentators with industry ties that suggest a financial interest in war. While they appeared on TV or were quoted as experts 111 times, their links to military firms were disclosed only 13 times. A group of Guantanamo prisoners are vowing to continue their hunger strike against indefinite detention and prison conditions. The U.S. military stopped releasing data on the hunger strike last month after its tally of participants dropped to 19. A news analysis in the journal PLOS Medicine says close to 500,000 people have died as a result of the U.S. invasion of Iraq. More than 60% of deaths were attributed to violence, with the rest stemming from the devastation of infrastructure and other war-related causes. Some earlier studies have put the toll of the Iraq invasion even higher. The U.S. Supreme Court appears poised to uphold Michigan's voter-approved ban on affirmative action at state colleges and universities. An appeals court previously ruled the ban violated the Equal Protection Clause of the 14th Amendment. But during oral arguments Tuesday, Justice Antonin Scalia reportedly claimed the 14th Amendment, quote, protects all races, not, quote, only the blacks. The Supreme Court has agreed to hear a case challenging the Obama administration's major regulations on greenhouse gas emissions from power plants and factories. In New York City, the trial is opened in a lawsuit by Chevron against the victims of its pollution in Ecuador. The Ecuadorians won a landmark $18 billion judgment against Chevron in 2011 for widespread contamination resulting from toxic dumping by Texaco, which Chevron later bought. Now Chevron is suing the victims and their U.S. lawyer, accusing them of using bribery. Critics say Chevron is attempting to evade accountability for environmental devastation they say led to some 1,400 deaths from cancer. Florida has executed a convicted murderer using a never-before-used drug cocktail that appeared to make him retain consciousness longer as he died. William Happ was injected with the sedative midazolam, despite concerns it might not work properly and could inflict cruel and unusual punishment. Florida used the drug as a substitute for pentobarbital, which has been in short supply after the Danish manufacturer prohibited its use in executions. A rape case in Maryville, Missouri, has sparked national outrage after the charges were dropped against a well-connected high school football player and the victim's family was forced to leave town amidst daily harassment from residents. Last January, 14-year-old Daisy Coleman blacked out after being given large amounts of alcohol at a party. She was then allegedly raped while another boy videotaped the attack. Daisy's 13-year-old friend was also allegedly raped the same night. Daisy was then dropped on her front porch, barely conscious in 22-degree weather, where her mother found her in the morning. Despite evidence and interviews supporting the case against the accused, prosecutors dropped the felony charges. Daisy's alleged rapist, Matthew Barnett, is the grandson of a powerful local political figure. In the months that followed, Daisy's mother was fired, her boss admitted the case was the reason, and her children were routinely harassed and threatened. Later, the family's house was burned down. The cause remains unknown. Former San Diego Mayor Bob Filner, who was forced to resign amidst claims of sexual harassment by at least 17 women, has pleaded guilty to felony imprisonment and battery. The charges stem from separate incidents where Filner allegedly put one woman in a headlock and restrained her, kissed another against her will, and groped a third. Under the plea deal, Filner will avoid prison time, serving 3 months of home confinement and 3 years of probation. Voters in New Jersey are going to the polls today to fill the Senate seat left vacant by the death of Senator Frank Lautenberg. Newark Democratic Mayor Cory Booker is leading in the polls against his Republican rival, Steve Lonegan, a former mayor and former state director of the Koch-backed Americans for Prosperity. New Jersey Republican Governor Chris Christie called the special election at a projected cost of $24 million rather than waiting 3 weeks until Election Day when he himself is up for re-election. And the actor and activist Harry Belafonte is suing the children of his close friend Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. The dispute centers on 3 documents Belafonte tried to put up for auction in 2008 in order to benefit a nonprofit that works with street gangs. The documents include King's outline for a speech on Vietnam and notes that were in his pocket when he was assassinated. Belafonte says they were given to him rightfully by Dr. King and others, but they have been in legal limbo after King's heirs claimed they were taken without permission, one of several attempts by the heirs to reclaim control of King's documents. And those are some of the headlines. This is Democracy Now!, democracynow.org, The War and Peace Report. I'm Amy Goodman.
Thank you, Amy. That's another Day Page. You can find them all at daypage.net. It's a production of Radio InfoWeb with thanks to democracynow.org. See you tomorrow for another Day Page.